Okay, so going once again into the sugya of Achorayim Vitoch, we're now going to expand into the question of Achorayim Vitoch and Beit HaTzvita or Beit HaTzviyah, as we'll see. Before we get there, let's talk about things that are not primary parts of a kli, and what the abstract issue of Achorayim would be if you hold that there's an abstraction of Achorayim versus Toch in these kind of kelim. So now, let's say you have the base of a kli, Kanei Kelim, which is similar to the type of, flower pots where you've got a curved base. And if you would turn the flower pot upside down, the curved base itself would actually be a kli, or many Shabbos bechers are like this. We've got that bottom piece, and then you got the top piece. It's basically two bechers attached to each other, one smaller, one larger. So what would be that din? The Kanei HaKelim. Is that the Achorayim or what? Or does that have its own toch? And what about the Ginehim, which is the Ogen of the Kli? The Ogen of a Kli is like a outward turning rim of a Kli. Or the Oznehem. Now, normally Oznehem, we're talking about the Gabbai Dinim of Tumah V'Taira. The Ozen is simply a handle shaped like an ear, as opposed to a Yad, which is a handle shaped like a stick. In English, you just call these handles, but in Hebrew, there's different ways of referring to them. But what we're referring to in this case, according to the Rav Bar Tanura, is we're talking about the ears. They are connected. They're little holes that allow you to insert what appears like an ear. So in this case, what we're talking about is again, according to the Rav, you've got the ear, but the ear isn't attached to the kli. The ear is inserted into these holes. Two ears you insert into the holes of the kli in order to pick up the kli with it when you have to carry it. So therefore, the ear itself would be these little holes that are attached to the kli to insert the ear into, in this case. Not a normal use of the word. Yadot HaKelim would be actual handles. So if there is an actual Beit Kibul on any of these things, they're mekabel on their own. And now Mashkim Tmeim fall on these parts that have a Beit Kibul. It doesn't matter. It's not called Toch. All you need to do is dry it off and nothing is tame. Not the part that it fell into, not the rest of the kli. Because either the kli actually got into the kli itself, or if it's actually the outside of the toch. But these extensions of the kli, like handles, are not considered to be even an Achorayim. Now, what about a kli that doesn't have a base kibul bichlal? Vishar kal hakelim, if they don't have an Achorayim v'toch. So over there, the din is, if naflu mashkin amikzato kulotame. So as we said, a kli has to have an Achorayim v'toch. What defines that, of course, was a machlokas, whether we can abstract the idea, whether that should literally be an Achorayim v'toch. But if it doesn't have a clear-cut Achorayim v'toch, at least according to one shita, so then there's no such din as separating out when mashkim tameim or metame. Everything becomes tame. Okay. Interestingly enough, as often happens in the structure of the Mishnah, we wait until the end of a sugya before we state the rule that the entire sugya has been based on. And therefore, we finally get to the klal. Kli shenitma achorav v'mashkin, achorav tmeim, tocho, ogno, oznov, yadav, all secondary attached pieces. If the kli was only tome me achorav, so whether you're talking about the rim that we were discussing, or you're talking about the ozen, or you're talking about a normal handle, all of these things remain tahar. But if nitma tocho, then all of it becomes tamei, including the outside and also including all of these parts. Because even though these parts themselves will not give tuma in their base kibble to the kli, if the kli's own primary base kibble is mekabel from mashkin to meim, then the din is that everything, including the attached pieces like handles, are also going to be mekabel tuma, and that was never a question. Continuing on now to Mishnah Zayin in Perek Chof Hei. There is also another din that we never spoke about, which is called the Beit Tzvita, or the Beit Tzvi'a. Here in Kalim, in Chagiga, you recall it's Beit Tzvita. And the Beit Tzvita is an area which is, in a sense, a Beit Kibbol, because it's like a little indentation. It's the kind of thing that you find in a box that you carry a TV in. So you put your fingers to the side, you carry the box over, which makes it easy to carry. That's called a Beit Tzvita, or a Beit Tzvi'a, because sometimes it's used in airplane serving dishes to hold the salad dressing or something in, which would also give it a secondary din in Chagiga of a Beis Kibbol that is separate from the rest of the kli. So a kli that has an achorayim v'toch also has the din that separates the Beit Tzvi'a from the rest of the kli. And because of that, it's not considered to be the place where you would stick your fingers into in order to be able to carry something, is not considered to be part of the actual kli. I actually have a kli right here with a Beit HaTzvita. As you could see, right here you stick your hands into this container area, put in your fingers, and you hold it. What's the din of a kli like that where you had some mashkin tmeim touching that area? Well, if you have the mashkin tmeim touching the achorayim, the Beit Tzvita is not mekabel tuma. If the mashkin tmeim gets into the Beit Tzvita, then that area does become tamei, but the rest of even the achorayim does not become tamei. So it's viewed as a third area. So once there's achorayim v'toch, if there's a Beit Tzvita, there's a din of achorayim, toch u'Beit Tzvi'a. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Rabbi Tarfon says, let's see, if you got this really big kneading dish, so it's an areva gedola shel eitz, where over there, in order to be able to carry that thing, it is so heavy, you would only carry it the way I just carried that fan. You'd put your hands into that thing because it doesn't help you to put your fingers on the side. You really want to stick your fingers in carefully to make sure you don't lose your grip on it. That's true of something big like that. But, I mean, if you're carrying something that is light, and it happens to be that it has a Beit Tzvita. I mean, look, in the same way you would have a cup that's got a handle, you don't necessarily carry the cup with the handle. I mean, sometimes you just put your hand around the glass and forget about the handle that's there. So in that case, you would not be able to rely on the fact that you only touch the Beit Tzvita. And there the Chachomim would definitely be concerned that anybody who's using the Beit Tzvita, probably his hand came in contact with the rest of it, and therefore he was metame also with the mashkin on his hand. He would be metame anything else, and therefore it's not called a Beit Tzvita. Rabbi Akiva Omer, not true. Even for kosot, even for little cups. Bottom line is, if it's got a Beit Tzvita, they gave it a separate din. And as we're going to see, that separate din is actually not based on the logistical analysis. If in reality, it would be wet. That's not the point. The point is that when the Chachamim made the Gezerah, they made the Gezerah in a way that allows normal usage of Kalim without you needing to go bananas about whether or not some of the mashkin might have penetrated and jumped back from the outside to the inside. And that's true over here as well. Now, says Rabbi Meir, What type of tumor are we exactly talking about over here? So Rabbi Meir says, look, this kula that Rabbi Akiva just mentioned, you say if you were holding it in the Beit HaTzvita, because, I mean, obviously we're not talking now about the theoretical concern where just Mashkin flew into the Beit HaTzvita. Right? We're talking about, I mean, otherwise there was no meaning to what Rav Papa was saying. So the discussion between Rav Papa and Rabbi Akiva about whether there's concern of having touched other issues. So what was the concern? So as we remember, the concern over there was in the case of Yadayim Tmeot. So a guy has hands that were Tameh, and they were Tameh, which gives them a din of a sheni. Again, all of that is a din d'rabbanan. And he goes ahead and he touches now this Beit HaTzvita. And if there's mashkim on his hands, or there's mashkim on the Beit HaTzvita, so then those hands would be able to be metame midrabanan, because the liquid is makabel tuma from a sheni, even the sheni midrabanan. So there we're talking about a case where the yadayim are tmeot, okay, and it also is applicable to a case where the yadayim are tohorot, and over there, there's a tuma on the din of the kli, and that tuma will now be metame yadayim, so it goes in both directions, and therefore, whether we're talking about that your yadayim are tmeot, or whether you're talking about your yadayim are wet, be makabel tuma by touching something that had a tuma that was only midrabanan, namely mashkin, they would also be tameh. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, lo omru ela liyadayim hatorot bilvad. The kula that we said over here was a kula that was nogea, somebody whose hands themselves were tahar, and he sticks his finger into the Beit HaTzvita, and therefore they said, you know, he doesn't have to worry that he's going to be metame his yadayim with the Beit HaTzvita. But if he has tame yadayim, then we have to be cheshesh that even Rabbi Akiva, everybody would be cheshesh that maybe he did touch the outside of the kli and wasn't so careful that his fingers only penetrated into the Beit HaTzvita itself. Let's see what time it is over here. It's a very bad place to stop because the next Mishnah is Masbir Rabbi Yossi Shita. So if you don't mind, I just want to add the next Mishnah, if that's okay. Okay? Ketzad. So next Mishnah begins Ketzad. It's not a good place to stop. So what do I mean, says Rabbi Yossi? I'll tell you. Let's say a guy has Yodav Tahoros, and the outside of this kli was tame with mashkim tame. And this guy goes and puts his fingers into the Beit HaTzviato. So then he does not have to be worried that maybe he also touched the outside of the kli, which had become tame from the outside, and therefore they were metame his yadayim. He can say, I know I put my fingers into the Beit HaTzvita, and that's the only thing that I touched. And since the Beit HaTzvita does not become Tameh just because the Achoraim were Tameim, my hands are Tahar. Furthermore, a guy's drinking a cup, okay? And this cup, the outside of the cup is Tameh because it had come into contact with Mashkin Tameim. He doesn't have to worry either about something that you'd think is really reasonable to worry about. He's drinking out of a tameh cup, right? And maybe the mashkim that he's putting into his mouth from the teacup, they are going to certainly touch the outside of the kli. In this case, only the outside of the kli was tameh. The inside of the kli is tea. And it was not makabel tuma, because remember that special gezeira de rabbanan only was matame the outside of the kli and not the inside of the kli. Now you would think that if you're drinking from the teacup, some of that liquid is going to get onto your lower lip, which is on the outside of the teacup. And therefore what's going to happen over here is that the liquid that's inside of your mouth is all going to become tummy because of the contact with the outside of the teacup, which would make sense, right? And once that happens, then the entire teacup should become tummy, because now some of the mashkin in your mouth, some of that tea is going to drip into the inside of the cup and be mitame with mashkin tmeim, the toch, and therefore the whole thing, for all intents and purposes, once you use that cup and drink from it, the whole thing should be tummy. The chiddush over here is that you will not have to be choshish, and the inside and the tea all are tahar. Not only that, imagine a case where you've got this pot that's full of boiling liquid, right? And it's spurting all over the place. It's very heavy boiling. You do not have to worry that some of the boiling liquid touched the outside of the pot and bounced back into the pot. Touched the achorea kli, which would be matame then, and then bounced back into the pot, which often happens. I mean, when things are boiling like that, it's always like that. Your whole stovetop becomes covered with oily liquid and so on. And that certainly does go back, because the point over here is not that it doesn't happen. The point over here is that the Rabbanan did not make a gezera that would have made it ridiculous to be able to use the kli that they're claiming you can use, because it's really, so what am I supposed to do with this? I can't drink from it. I can't use it to cook in. I mean, so what are you telling me? Achorayim v'toch. It's irrelevant. Therefore, the etzem gezera of achorayim v'toch includes the fact that normal usage is part of what you can rely on, and you don't make an analysis of whether, well, I mean, come on, I mean, didn't someone, that's irrelevant. That's not what we assert. That's what I mean, says Rabbi Yossi. And that's why in the Ketzad, he's bringing things that don't seem to be directly related to his Yesod. Now we understand the nature of his Yesod. It's not in terms of Chashash, it's in terms of understanding the Etzem Gezerah of Achorayim V'Tochu Beit HaTzvita.